Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities. And most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here's your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. So this is the second week in October, and it's October, because at least in America, October is Halloween month, and everybody puts out their scariest stuff in the front yard, finds their scariest costume so they can just strike terror in everyone's heart, and then buys a lot of candy to give them after they wake up from being frightened to death. So that's October. But when you're thinking about that, then you think about, oh, spiritual things. There are a lot of spiritual things, and one of them that just happened to fall in October this year, if you are Jewish, and that's the miracle of modern communication, is I can sit here in my house in San Diego and reach the whole world. So world, Jews, wherever you are, Yom Kippur starts tonight. And so Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. It's the holiest day of the year for Jews. It begins at sundown tonight, and it ends sundown tomorrow. And in the Jewish tradition, these hours are an immersion in spirituality with fasting, I don't like that part, and prayer, and a time when we're the closest to God. And whatever your spiritual beliefs may be, most of us agree that cleansing and clearing the body and the mind is healing to the soul. So with themes of repentance and purification, Yom Kippur is a reminder for all of us to wipe the slate clean by forgiving ourselves and each other, and also to take time to step away from our busy lives and reconnect with something greater. So I know when I was living in Texas, you could walk to shul, which is temple. You could walk to shul, and everybody was kind of starving, but they were so happy to see each other, and we had some glorious prayers. And it is a wonderful time of year. So it falls at a different time every year because the Hebrew calendar is not the same as the standard calendar that most of us use. So sometimes it's in September, sometimes it's in October. And so happy Yom Kippur, everybody. And then in keeping with our spirit month, we had a wonderful guest lined up, and unfortunately she's not feeling well. She came back from Europe and she's a little under the weather, and I think changing continents and time zones will certainly do that to you. So her wonderful publicist had a great guest who could step in at the last moment. And this is also in keeping with our theme. This is wonderful. This is about, are you ready to change your life? This lady nails it in an informative and resource-rich book that guides introverts, and you know who you are, on a clear journey to an empowered career, and engaging both her personal journey as an introvert and her expertise as a career coach. That sounds kind of like an oxymoron right there. Jane gives the readers tools that they need to break out of old patterns that are holding them back and create a path to a more fulfilling professional life. It's clear she understands her audience and it is thorough in providing detailed steps to thrive through relatable stories, helpful examples, and engaging exercises. And if a tendency towards introversion makes you feel stuck, this book will probably offer the key to your freedom. And it's called The Introvert's Guide, Complete Career Guide. From landing a job to surviving, thriving, and moving on up. And that's serious business here, because you can even find somebody to help you write a resume and look good on paper. But if you are such a serious introvert, once you get on that job, you're going to be in trouble. So does this lady know what she's talking about? I have to tell you, yes, she does, because she has 25 years of experience as a career coach for universities and has run her own career counseling firm since 2002, which is amazing for an introvert right there. Prior to founding her practice, Ms. Finkel served as an associate director for career services at the University of Pennsylvania, where she designed and administered career programs, developed resources, and provided career counseling and advice on employment trends for students and alumni of the College of Arts and Sciences at the Wharton School. Oh my goodness, I'm not worthy. The Wharton School. Jeez. She created and led the Wharton Career Discovery Seminar and served as a liaison to recruiters from major corporations. Finkel is a member of the National Career Development Association, Middle Atlantic Career Counseling Association, and served on the board of Dress for Success Philadelphia. She's written a weekly column, Career Blueprints, for the Abington Patch, and has published in Huffington Post, wow, and Adirondack Life. And she lives in Philadelphia, which is one of my second or third hometowns. That's where a lot of my family live. So I am just so honored to have you. Please, everyone, welcome Jane Finkel. Hi, Jane.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
This is so exciting. First of all, how do people really know if they're an introvert or an extrovert?
Well, I think that's a really important and good question. And I, you know, think there are a lot of misconceptions. I think we think that extroverts are social butterflies and that introverts are wallflowers. But the truth is, it's not so much about social skills. It really is about our energy.
Ooh.
So extroverts are more energized when they have lots of opportunity to interact externally, whether it's with people or activity. And it doesn't mean they don't like to be alone. But sometimes in a crowded room where there's lots of different people to talk to, their energy just flies, you know, it expands. Introverts like people, and they like activity, but they do need more time to be alone. And the reason for that is that they get a lot of energy from reflection. So they tend to think carefully before they speak up. So often, if they go into a large room, it requires them to really pull together a lot of energy. And they don't necessarily like to make small talk. There's people who go very deep. So they can make small talk, but they will enjoy a large event if they have an opportunity to talk to at least one or two people and have a very in-depth conversation. They're also really great at asking questions. So it's really more about energy. And I think the American culture leans towards extroversion because we tend to be rewarded for speaking up and taking initiative. It's not such a bad idea to spend a little bit more quiet time and reflect and maybe think carefully before we speak up.
Can you be a hybrid? Because I know I would really like to stay home and pet my cat, and I really don't want to go out. And people go, are you kidding me? You're the biggest extrovert on earth. Not really. I just love people. I love people when I get out there.
Right. Well, I think that the one thing about this is there's a spectrum. You know, there are people that can be extremely introverted. And yes, there is a hybrid. And I think it's because the environment enhances or impedes whether you're introversion or extroversion. You know, the more experience you have, if you're introverted, the more experience you have being around people, you know, speaking up at meetings, you may actually start to move a little bit towards the middle. And I think often as adults, as we grow older, the research seems to indicate that we get more introverted anyway, because we've lived a certain amount of time and we're kind of reflecting, about the past and what we want in the future. And we know we still have time, but not as much time.
Oh, that's true.
So I think there's that opportunity to really think carefully about, you know, what we've achieved in life and what we want to do in the future.
How do you feel about all these personality tests? I did that for a while. I administered personality tests to people, and they had the spectrum of DIS and C. So there was a dominant, an interpretive, steadfast or somebody that followed the rules, and
right.
then compliant. Compliant really followed the rules. Now, do we really fall on those points, or are we?
No, I think that I'm always careful. I mean, the one that is really famous for taking a look at extroversion and introversion is the Myers-Briggs.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And you know that it's not based on science. I mean, it's based on psychological theory, but it's not really based on science. I think sometimes it can be helpful in making people self-aware, but I think some of the danger is the stereotyping. You know, I came out introverted, or I came out extroverted, or so I think we have to be careful. And even when you do take the Myers-Briggs, it's not like you're necessarily a pure introvert or a pure extrovert, you know, there's gradations of it. So sometimes people are slightly, you know, introverted or slightly extroverted. So
they have some powerful words, too. You're either a judger or a perceiver. And I'm like, wait a minute, I don't judge people. I don't judge things. And right. I think I came out. One of us is a judger and the other is a perceiver. And I'm going, okay, this can't be good. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think I do have trouble with some of the terminology because the judging and perceiving really has not, like, judging is how you tend to organize your life. So judging people tend to approach life, they like to plan in advance. They really value organization. They don't like to be caught off guard, so they're always, you know, trying to organize and stay on top of things.
Oh, I am a judger.
You are. So am I. We're perceiving people are just a little bit more laid back. They can plan and they can organize, but they're not necessarily committed to it. So the next day they could change their mind, and they do tend to be a little bit more resilient and flexible. So I think that word judging is, I don't know how they came up with that, but I think it doesn't really reflect, you know, what that personality type is.
I have to wonder about all the labels we've got in the world because we've got, and having done this radio show, I did it before on another station for years. And so I've had astrologers on and they said, how come you and your husband haven't killed each other yet? And we've been together 55 years. Because our zodiac signs are not the same. Our personality types are not the same. All of these labels are not the same, but it doesn't matter because we love each other, so who cares?
Right. I also think we're complex. And so when you take a look at whether it's your astrological sign or your Myers-Briggs four-letter code, it's only one dimension of you. You know, we have many layers. So I think we do have to be careful about stereotyping or taking one test or our sign, you know, as an explanation for our whole personality and the way we are.
That's very true because you can't change your astrological sign. But I know I've taken these personality tests and you take them one day and you get one score and then you come back a month later and it just depends on how you feel. You get a whole different score.
Mm-hmm. Well, in general, though, I'll say about the Myers-Briggs, just because it's on the higher level of what they call reliability and validity, that according to their research, you can take it again, and you might score a little differently, but you're usually in the same range.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I guess I'm stuck being judgy, but yeah, I do believe in planning everything to death. I mean, seriously.
Right.
Planning is my life, and it's really weird to be a Gemini and be so into planning.
Right.
But so here's the thing. You have these people, and I am just so impressed with your credentials. People who need to get jobs nowadays, and we can argue whether there's a good job market or a bad job market, but to get the job of your dreams, you really have to be careful how you describe yourself.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean like when you're in an interview or... during networking? Well, I guess both of those things are really important.
All of it, actually. The networking, and we can talk about an elevator speech because, honestly, the first 30 seconds that you meet somebody, that's their opinion of you, and they're not likely going to change that. And that's pretty scary.
I think, you know, first of all, I always hate that term 30 elevator because people don't talk to each other in an elevator, and you can get stuck, right? So
yeah.
I when I work with clients, I say we're going to write a savvy script, and each letter stands for something. But basically, especially when you're thinking of introverts who sometimes freeze up in these situations, that as long as introverts plan ahead, it's not the activity so much, but planning what they want to say, then often they'll do just fine. They don't have to memorize it. They just have bullet points, and it's sort of organized in their brain so that it flows out well when they speak up. So, you know, in general, just thinking the most important thing in these days is to really be able to highlight your accomplishments. So employers care what your responsibilities and tasks are, but they're looking for outcomes. So what have you done that has resulted in increasing revenue or introducing something brand new, solving a problem, or doing something innovative?
That's really important to my target audience, because I'm aiming at service members right now, veterans and their families. And people really do not understand career military members. And so when somebody gets out, they've retired or they've just been in 10, 15 years, they have to be able to relate their skills to the civilian market. And sometimes they don't understand the civilian market. And the civilian market certainly doesn't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, that has been a problem. I think it's always the pressure is always on the applicant, right, or the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the most important thing they can do is to research, go online, read as much as they can about the employer, Google, see if they can get information about the person that they're going to speak to, and, have some questions prepared. But also get a sense when they read the job description, they're going to have to interpret for the employer how that makes the connection. And I think if they do really good research, and have a good idea of the company culture and the services and the mission of the organization, and obviously reading that job description, with a fine-tooth comb, they can think carefully about, their skills and their achievements in the service, and then help the employer make the connection.
And I think that the big thing
maybe they wrote up reports, and that's part of what the job description says. So
I think if they can handle the job description, that's fine. But there is this bit of a stigma, especially people, my husband was a Vietnam vet, now we've got the Desert Storm and Desert Shield vets. They think that everybody that went over to a war came back crazy, or that we need to be a little wary, or we need to be touchy around them. And that certainly is not the case. And how do you convince an employer that, you're just like everybody else, you just have superb background skills?
Right. Well, I think that part of the pitch will be, or your savvy script, also includes personal qualities. So I think to talk about sort of the courage that it takes to, serve, it requires being able to work on a team. Usually, you have to develop good relation-building skills. You have to be organized. I mean, these are typical things that employers are looking for. And actually, they've done a survey of the most important three. There are three things. There are many things that employers are looking for, but there are three main areas. They want somebody who can solve a problem.
Okay.
So somebody in the service could highlight, being in a dangerous area or ways that they've solved problems. The other is bringing new ideas and innovation. And the other that we always diminish the importance of, but is so crucial to success, is people who know how to relate, to build relationships and work with other people. So I think those three things are things that I think people who are in the service or in a war are pretty much forced to develop. And I know, especially, I've read articles that my father served in the war. My husband was also in Vietnam. That there's a special bond.
There is.
I think it builds such, character and insight. So I think there are just so many ways that they can use that experience to impress and make an impact on an employer.
I don't know if I'm going to offend anybody with this, but we've been discussing, I go to a lot of veterans organizations because that's my life, is caring for veterans, and they talk about the old draft. When we had the draft, young men, and now young women can join the service just as easily, but they learned, they came into the service and they learned purpose and following rules and camaraderie and watching each other's back and the importance of doing what you say you're going to do. That's not right here now. It's just not around these days. Everybody, there's a victim mentality going on. There's an entitlement mentality going on, and it's just not healthy. And so some of us kind of miss the draft.
Right. Well, but that's a good point, because that's another way that a veteran could highlight some of their, you know, talents, their personality and skills, to talk about the discipline, how important that was, and how they can bring that to an employer. So,
absolutely. You rarely see an ex-service member taking a sick day. I mean, they'll drag themselves to the office no matter what. It's amazing, these guys. Because they just think, you know, I have a job to do. And that's a good thing. I think our young kids, they're just not getting that. Where can they learn this kind of stuff? Where can they get these skills?
I think that's a really good question. I think sometimes they have failures, and that's how they learn, you know, because there are certain behaviors that aren't going to be acceptable. So sometimes I think they learn the hard way.
Oh, that's good.
Or, you know, we have to, you know, once they're in the workplace, you know, sometimes they have to be taught. But, you know, it can be challenging. But I have to say I've also met some remarkable young people, too.
Oh, thank goodness. Because yeah. I'm, you know, depending on what channel you watch, and I do try to stay away from negative TV stations, because we are, when we come back from the break, we only have a few more minutes, but when we come back, we're going to talk about social media a lot. And not only is there social media, but just the cotton picking TV set can totally shape your life. And depending on what you're watching, you're being influenced by that, and you don't realize that it's coming back out in you. It's very subtle. But, you know, it's kind of like you are what you eat. You are also what you see and what you hear. Mm-hmm. It's amazing stuff.
It is. I do think social media has a tremendous impact on the younger generations, especially.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, well, I have a she's going to be 3 next month, my granddaughter. She already can, she's already called 911 a couple of times, and the fireman said, would you please take the phone away from your daughter? So my son said, yes, I will lock it now. But she can already work the phone. She's got her own little iPad. She's 3 years old. Good heavens.
But you I think that we're all a victim of our generation. Because I remember growing up, and I thought TV was so awful.
Oh, really? I was excited when we got color TV. You know, oh, wow, color.
It's just there have to be some boundaries. I think that's the problem, because, you know, sometimes when I go out to dinner and I see families and they're all on the phone and not connecting with each other, you know, that's just not healthy. But and sometimes, you know, in an emergency, there's nothing, you know, better than having your cell phone there. So, you know, it just depends on the situation.
It's pretty bad when they're actually texting each other across the table. I mean, that's just insane. But, you know, it is interesting, because the biggest threat now, I don't think we're scared of nuclear bombs. We used to have our bomb shelters in the 50s. I don't think we're scared of that anymore. We're scared of a blackout because we can't use our devices.
Right.
Now, how scary is that? I mean, people used to actually walk to each other's houses. And they would, you know, ride a horse to another town. I mean, things like that still exist. They just, nobody wants to think about that.
Right. Well, actually, I do remember when we, for some reason, a squirrel got involved in the wires outside, and we were without Wi-Fi or the internet for 2 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And initially, I felt just overwhelming anxiety until I, you know, calmed myself and I said, you know, this could be like a vacation. You know, just, you can, you know, still communicate with people. and you'll be fine. So
it is. And, you know, interestingly, because I'm loving talking to you, but we want to plug your book because it sounds great. I didn't get to see it. This was kind of a last minute substitution. So hopefully you guys will send me one. But I like paper books. I really do. I can put all that stuff on my, I have like 7 or 8 iPads and Kindles and stuff so that I can run five or six activities
right.
at the same time.
Right.
But I love paper books. You can go back and forth on them. You can photograph the page with your mind. You can do things on a paper book that you cannot mm-hmm. do on a Kindle. And when the lights go out, the paper book is still there. Just get a candle.
Right. Right. You know, I agree. And, you know, often I'm into book groups. And so when you can hold the book and you've outlined certain areas, it really adds to the discussion.
It
does.
That's
something nice about physically holding the book, too.
I like highlighting things. And you look at my book and there'll be like 4 or 5 different colors of highlighter inside the book. I have different colors for different importance levels. And the physical act of dragging that little highlighter across the sentence, you're reading it twice, and it's going into your brain. It's a motor thing. And I really
right.
like that. You can do something like that on a Kindle, but it's just not the same.
Right.
So I do love paper books. My husband's going to make me move out if I get one more book. Well, okay, we'll excuse yours. Because there are so many books in this house, and I haven't. Yeah. I love them so much, I don't know where to send them. I don't want to just throw them away. I don't want to donate them to the wrong people. So being the introvert half, I don't want to let go of those books unless I know they're going to the right place.
Right. Oh, well, I sometimes can give them to the library.
Yeah.
Especially the paperbacks, not so much the hard copy, but especially the paperbacks. So
that's a thought. I've got an awful lot of self-help things because if you think about the kind of show I have, I get a lot of self-help material. So I thought about starting my own self-help library, but it's enough just trying to do a show once a week, so I think I'll let that one go.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
And we have about 2 minutes, so I want to highlight, when we come back, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to do our angel and gemstone card and our rant of the week because the guests are so interesting. If I don't do them as soon as we come back, we'll forget. I can blame that on brain damage. See, I had this big old brain tumor, took out half my brain. I forget to do my own sequences. So we have just a couple minutes here. And when we come back, we are going to talk about social media and how you can jump into conversations live. So there's social media on, that's not live. There's jumping into conversations live. How can you break the ice if you find yourself in a room and you're just, duh, look at all those people. So you guys, go get your pen and paper and get ready for this because when we come back, we're going to have so much good information for you. You have no idea. I am so excited to have Jane Tinkle with us. And she is our expert of absolutely acing the career business. And we will be right back with Jane Finkel.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need success no therapy. Dr. Red, aka Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Here's a question for you. You got no success? I've got the therapy. I'm Dr. Sarah Young, founder of Success No Therapy, and I'll help you define your success and choose the therapy that'll get it for you. You name it, hypnotherapy, aromatherapy, timeline therapy, NLP, EFT, crystals, angel healing, and more. They're all available anywhere in the world. Like my radio show, Dr. Red Says, We are here online 24/7. Visit www.drsarahmyoung.com or www.facebook.com/drredsays to arrange an appointment, or call 858-860-0461. Blessings.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, y'all. And it's just beautiful out here in sunny San Diego. I don't know how it is where you are, but we have with us, and I'm so excited because we got her at the last minute, and I think my Archangel Michael did that for me. We have Jane Finkel, who is the angel of acing the career market. This is such a tough thing, especially in America. The job market it's fickle, it's deceptive. I can't even tell you. And if you want to start your own business, oh my goodness, that's a whole other issue. Which is why you need to get the Introvert's Complete Career Guide. You can get it on Amazon. You can actually buy the hardcover, which the book, which I like better because you can draw in it. You can write your notes in it. You can do all kinds of things in it. It's so much better. But you need to get this book because some of the things we're going to talk about after we do our two segments that we have to do will give you some ideas of what you can do next if you want to start your own company. Do a new career, just be hot at the next event. So we got to get these two out of the way. And every week we pull a card from my angel and crystal deck. And on one side is a crystal, and it's the crystal of the week. And then on the other side is the angel that brought it to you. So they pick me. I don't pick them. I just spread all the cards out, shuffle them, and one jumps out. And so this one this week, I love it, is clear quartz. Are you trying to gain clarity? Do things seem hazy and dark right now? Is your path unclear or uncertain? Go within and see the positive in all circumstances. Focus on the matter at hand. Maintain loving thoughts surrounding your current life situation. And boy, if you're looking for a job, it's all pretty hazy. And this is brought to you by the Angel of Clarity. And these are affirmations. I usually say them three times because three is a magic number. If you don't catch them now, we're on again in 12 hours, and then we're on the archives tomorrow, so you can see it on our website. And so the Angel of Clarity says, I see my life situation clearly and from a greater perspective. I'm focused in all that I do. I am lovingly conscious in every action I take. I proceed with a greater understanding of what is required of me. And I love that word focus. My daughter-in-law, we're in San Diego. They're in Maryland because my son works for the NSA. So they're out there with all those big deal kind of people. And she has her own company. And so you have to be pretty focused for this. So she will let the dog out. She had two at the time. She'd let the dogs out to go to the bathroom. And I'd go out with her. And they'd be flitting around the yard chasing the squirrels. We talked about some squirrels. And she would just yell, dogs, focus. And those dogs would squat immediately. I've never seen anything like it. But that lady has focus. And she can make other people have focus, even fur people. I'm amazed every time she does that. And the dogs, they do it every time she tells them. So that's a good thing to have. Have some focus. Have some fun while you're being focused. Then the other thing that we do every week is the rant of the week. And what that is what makes you so mad? You hold your breath and you see red like Dr. Red looks. Whatever that is, my guest and I will help you to get that taken care of because you don't want to blow up. And if you have enough of those inside you, you're going to blow up like a pressure cooker. So you might as well do it in style. And what you can do is you can send me your rant of the week and we save them up, get some goodies. If you win the rant of the month, if you're in San Diego, I'll come and put the wig on you and we'll take a picture. You get a Dr. Red wig. If you're not in San Diego, I'll mail it to you, but you got to promise to take a picture so I can see who it is. Because the last guy was so cute. He's cute, tiny little guy. He's a veteran. And he has a gray mustache and beard and gray hair. And we put that little red wig on him and he was adorable. So, you know, if for nothing else, let it out because you might win the rant of the month. So, Jane, do you have a particular rant that's just eating you up right now?
Yes, I am angry at how employers discriminate against older candidates.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really, really upsets me. And some of them are so talented with substantial experience. They would add so much value. But employers, they'll never say it, but they'll, you know, always go often go for somebody younger and less experienced.
Yeah, that's really sad because we're living so much longer now and people are so much healthier than they used to be. I was having a blood test and this lady told me because she looked at my thing and said, "You're not really that old." And I said, "Yeah, I am." She said, "You know what? I had a lady walk in here and I said, I got to go check your chart. This is wrong." She said, "What?" And she said, "Your age." She said, "No, it's 90. She said, "You're 90. She was dressed to the teeth, came hopping in there, just all cheerful and adorable. And she said, "I've never seen anybody like that." There's a lot of them now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm sure at some point they'll raise the retirement age anyway. But I just think that employers are really missing out.
Oh, man, they better not raise it. Because I asked my husband, "Are you ever going to retire?" And he said, "Well, maybe when I turn 75. And I said, "Don't look now, man, but that's next year. And he said, "Really?" He forgot. And so if they don't get to changing the retirement age, I think I will find him, you know, they'll just tell me to come pick up his corpse at the office. Because he loves his work.
Uh-huh. Well, I think, you know, people can, as we age, there are options. You know, we can choose. I mean, I know people who fully retire and, you know, get involved in volunteering and other, you know, stimulating activities, and other people who still like the stimulation and structure that work brings. And it can feel like it's a way they can continue to make an important contribution.
Yeah. And sometimes there just isn't the right volunteer position. I have been in a lot of volunteer groups, and it's kind of getting things done is like trying to herd cats. And if you are military and you're used to barking a command and everybody jumps, working with a volunteer organization sometimes can be a little challenging.
Yes, I think that's true. And that's why, you know, I think, if, you know, there are, when you retire, there are lots of different options for you.
Yeah, it's also
and, you
nice.
Know, retiring is one of them, but there's many other, you know, possibilities.
Nowadays,
but
I
do find a lot of people still like to work, even if it's part time.
Well, that and the economy. I mean, right now we are having a pretty good economy, but sometimes you just wonder what you're going to do if you lose that that income. Some people have a good retirement plan. Some people have no retirement plan.
Right. I see sometimes with people is they might have a good retirement plan, but sometimes they begin to have health issues. And then, you know, their insurance doesn't cover everything.
That's true.
You know, from the medications to, you know, some hospital stays. So.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. Even the copay, one of my husband's medicines, the copay is $300 a month on just one pill. And how do people do that?
Yeah, it's really crazy.
So, you know, you do have to kind of plan ahead. So we've got all these lovely, parables, you know, the grasshopper and the ant. And the ant was busy putting away things, you know, every summer so he'd have something for the winter and the grasshopper wasn't. You kind of need to start planning ahead and putting things away because you never know what's going to happen next. So here's the thing. You know you're an introvert. You're pretty sure you're an introvert. So you drag your little tushy out, and you go to a meeting, and so they're all, it's maybe it's a networking group, and they're all standing around, and everybody's having a great old time, at least you think so, talking to each other, and there you are. What do you do?
Well, I will say I've personally had those experiences, and I've sometimes gotten up and hoped that maybe they canceled it because of the weather for some reason, and then I go and have a good time. But I think the thing about introverts is that they seem to succeed if they use that their natural ability to reflect and think and plan ahead. So there's nothing wrong with, before you go to the meeting, maybe come up with three questions you'd like to ask. Uh-huh. Maybe you've had a recent accomplishment that you can, you know, insert in the conversation that you're really proud of. You know, maybe somebody at the meeting is involved in some sort of a project that fascinates you. So you may want to, you know, talk with them about it. You know, sometimes you can, if you know who's going to be there, you might want to identify one or two people that you'd really like to have a conversation with. So
that's
it's
true.
Just planning ahead and thinking carefully. And even if you go and for some reason you didn't have a chance to jump in, you could follow up with an email to say, I really enjoyed what you had to say. So I think there are lots of ways to do that. And I don't know if you've ever read, Amy Cuddy wrote a book about body language. So another thing that introverts or extroverts can do before a large event is to actually go off maybe into the ladies' room or someplace and do a victory pose. You know, where you stand and your, you know, arms go in a V.
That I've heard of that.
To, you know, there's something to mind-body, of course. So I think there are lots of different techniques, you know, from, you know, thinking about, you know, how you might want to introduce yourself to having questions prepared.
I love that. And there, seriously, the body language and just the smile on your face. I was watching a news show just before this, before we started. There's now a procedure to fix your mouth, because there's a thing called resting bitch face. And what it is just some people have mouths that turn down and some people have mouths that turn up. So you just look mad all the time. Well, there's actually a procedure now so you can fix your face. So if you could manage to smile even when you don't feel like it, it makes you happier. That's that mind-body connection.
And I think then it makes you more approachable.
Yes, because you don't have that resting bitch face. I mean, I don't think I have that, but it's a phenomenon here. I mean, people look just scowly. And it's not them, it's their muscles.
Right. Well, I think body language, it's an interesting thing to talk about, because, you know, when they interview people, when people are being interviewed, they say that people size you up really quickly. And they say that your body language is as or more important than actually the content of what you talk about.
This is true. And if you get around a bunch of people, I do NLP, it's neuro-linguistic programming. And it's a wonderful thing. We learn things like mirroring and pacing and leading. And
right.
So I will sit there and I'll lean forward and I'll just be nodding. And they're going, you're NLPing me, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm really interested in your conversation. But, you know, you get to where you're just so used to jumping into their conversation, getting involved with it, leaning forward, nodding. People think you're pulling something on them. No, I'm just really interested in their conversation. You know, and that's that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a speaker,
it's a very good.
If you're a speaker, you're looking for that. You know, you're looking out at the sea of faces, and if you see a few faces nodding, it perks you up. You do better. So you need that validation, whether you're interviewing or they're interviewing you. Somebody just smiling and nodding, that means a lot.
Yeah, I think, again, it shows that there's a reaction, there's a response, and we all want to, we're all looking for common ground. So I think, body language and, you know, how you're approaching people, you know, those are things that you have to be aware of. And I think, you know, it's like everything. If you're the kind of person who's been nervous about entering a large room or networking, it's like when you start to exercise and you get a little sore. You know, your muscles get a little sore, but the more you do it, you know, the easier it gets. So I think it's the same with networking and interviewing and the whole job search process.
And the interesting thing about, you always think the introverts are really intelligent, scientific, or very curious people. If you actually get out there and talk to people you didn't expect to make a connection with, they may be interested in something that you want to pursue. You might go, wow, you know, I never thought of that. So it's something you can go home and investigate.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the whole, people are so fixated on what they're going to achieve by networking or meeting people, when it's really, it's a conversation. It's about building a relationship. And always, when there's common ground, there's a connection. And sometimes it goes someplace. It takes you somewhere. And sometimes it was just a nice conversation.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the interesting thing about networking is it is a network. There's no beginning. There's no end. It just, you know, kind of meanders, you know, from square to square. And so that's the way it should be. Everybody should be equal and everybody should be contributing what they want to contribute. And you grow that way. You learn that way. And why would you want to go somewhere if you're just going to impose yourself on somebody? You know, you can do that with family.
Right. And, you know, I also think it's just a matter of having realistic expectations. You know, if you meet one, you don't have to go to those events and meet 10 people. If you meet one or two people that you know, enjoyed speaking with and had a good conversation, that's success.
That's true. And you go home, and when you're sitting there thinking about it by yourself, you go, you know what? I forgot. This happened, and that happened, and ooh, that was interesting. And, you know, you're so scared at the moment. You're absorbing the stuff, but you're not paying attention. You're so scared. Then when you go home, you go, oh, you know what? I remember that, and we did this. You absorb a lot.
Right. Right. See, that's true.
That's the big thing for me. I always want to learn stuff, and people keep telling me you're in the 70s now, you can stop it. I go, no, I always want to learn stuff. It's cool. I want that. And, you know, you can learn just by talking to somebody. I just start out, if they don't want to pay any attention to you, go up and give them an outrageous compliment and say, "Wow, I love that purse. Where did you get it? Wow." They'll talk to you.
That's right.
They will talk to you. Or if you say, you know, I have never heard that concept before. How did you think that up? Oh, man, will they talk to you.
Right.
So just give them a compliment.
You know, we all just want to be appreciated. And we all want to be heard. So I think when we ask questions or when we listen carefully, we give the impression, you know, that we're genuinely interested in that person.
Yeah, and hopefully we really are. You know, it's why would you come out if you didn't want to meet new people and learn new things? I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but I've never gone to a networking group where I've actually gained anything monetarily or business wise. It's just been fun.
Right.
Sorry about that. That's my door marker. Yeah. So, you know, maybe later down the road we'll reconnect again. But I don't go to networking because I'm hell bent on making my business better.
Right. Well, you know, for some people who are starting a business, you know, it can be a tool to, you know, to market. But I think when you're seasoned, it's more finding out what other people are doing that's interesting. You might even get some new ideas that you can use. And it's just to continue your professional development.
Well, I think that's kind of it. If you're so, you know, scared, I got to get this because business going up, got to make it move. You're so scared doing that stuff, you're kind of like hung up, you're kind of tied up. If you go there going, you know what, I don't care, I know what I'm doing, and you enjoy yourself, the business opportunities kind of fall in your lap. The phrase about God's up there laughing while we're making our plans, Right. Because you can make all these plans, but if you just let go, this stuff floods in.
Right.
And that's a better way to go.
You know, yeah, there's actually this theory called planned happenstance, which is really... And the person, John Krumbolt, was a psychologist. He recently passed away. But basically, he said that luck isn't an accident, necessarily. So he's saying when you're curious, follow it. You know, and so if you're curious, you ask questions to learn more. And that things unfold in unpredictable ways. So what we're talking about is to be yourself and let the spontaneity take over.
Absolutely. Well, you know, because we talked earlier, we're both Jewish, and so the lady who was going to speak today wrote a book about getting your soul back. If you're a young, good Jewish girl, you grow up, you're seen and not heard, you do what you're supposed to do, and you probably try to become a doctor. And if you can't find a good-looking young doctor, then you become one yourself. Yeah, there's all of these rules and concepts and things that you have to do. So not only was I a young Jewish girl, but I was the daughter of the first Jewish field officer in the military. And so the expectations were so high that everything was nerve-wracking. And so if you can just let go, things will just pile into your life, and then you can choose what you want. And there is no, I was supposed to become an MD. I'm allergic to formaldehyde, so I have two other doctorates. But I was supposed to become a doctor. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. I was not supposed to become a radio show host. Hmm. But this is way more fun.
Right. That's, you know, I had a similar experience. Wasn't a push to be a doctor, but it's certainly a lot of pressure to achieve. Do well in school, you know, have a very successful life, marry the right person.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you reach a point in your life where you have to say, who am I and what do I want? And I think that's, you know, half the battle in terms of a career and how we are in our lives.
It is hard because depending on cultures and where you are, this show is here in America, so we're pretty much free to do whatever we want. But if you think about some of the other European countries where little Jewish girls grew up, you pretty much did exactly what your mom and your rabbi told you to do. And
right.
I mean, that's it. That doesn't mean it couldn't be a fulfilling life. It just may not have been the one you wanted it to be.
Right. Well.
But here we can do whatever we want. I mean, America is amazing. And anybody that says, you know, America is not great, I'm not telling my politics here. America doesn't need to be made great again. It is great.
I agree.
We can do whatever we want. And that's why I love having this show, because anybody can come on here and say anything they want to me. And I will say, thank you for sharing. Cool. I mean, where can you do that?
I think when we think about careers, you know, in some countries you pick one and that's it for life.
Yes.
And we have this flexibility where you can do something for 5 years, shift, go to graduate school, get a certificate or not. But we really do have a lot of options when it comes to career development.
There are people in other countries that work for one company their entire life. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Just one, not only one career, but one company. I get too bored too easy. I got to jump around.
Right. Well, it was like that in America, you know, a few generations ago.
That's true.
Work for one company, or they just did one, you know, occupation and that was it. But I think with all the changes in the economy and the job market, perhaps the best part is that people don't have to get stuck.
Thank goodness. Because when you think about it, and some of us just kind of are tomboys, sometime or another I'm actually going to have a show on the truth. There used to be two genders when we grew up. Now there's, I think, something like 45 of them. And there's transgenders, and there's all this stuff going on. We grew up and you did this or you did that, and that was your role, and that's the way it goes. And so the place has changed so much. And there are some of us that were born that way. According to research that I've been given, there are 10 different genetic variables on someone who's transgender than someone who is male or female. So there's all this stuff going on. I'm getting a note that we have 30 seconds left. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
so
no.
We're having Jane back. That's all there is to it. And so next week we'll be talking about keeping fit so you can do these things. And you guys, until then, it is okay to flip your wig. It is not okay to lose your mind. And we'll see you next week and talk about being fit in October. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.